Lord, open our hearts that we may feel your presence in this place today. Amen. You may be seated. This is not a place I'm very comfortable being in. And if you haven't seen the church calendar, you might be asking yourself, why is Melissa Howen preaching? No, I'm not a preacher. I'm an educator. Some of my former students, however, may disagree with that statement, as I may have preached to them a few times. But today we're here to celebrate Episcopal School Sunday. More specifically, we reflect on 61 years of tradition here at St. Paul's Episcopal School. And I would be remiss if I did not start by acknowledging those who have built our wonderful school. Our own Margaret Brown began the school in 1956 and has been an inspiration ever since. When you see her, thank her. More recently, my good friend Ruth Miller served as head of school from 1987 to 1998, and Debbie Bennett filled the same role more recently. The church is filled with teachers, staff members, and parents who have donated time, talent, and treasure to the cause. Finally, this congregation has been unflagging in its support of the school. On my behalf of the staff, the parents, and most of all our students, please accept our gratitude. So today may be a good day to ask a simple question: why? The world overflows with ministry opportunities. As Father Ray reminds us every week, we need to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and console the lonely. The government, and more recently private industry, operate schools. And frankly, there are sometimes legitimate concerns about how well faith and reason coexist. Given the effort running a school takes, we need to make sure we are not just continuing a tradition, but are doing the good of the world. As I am new to St. Paul's Episcopal School, and I'm new to the Episcopal School in general, I began my tenure by asking the same question: why? I asked the staff why they wanted to teach and work at St. Paul's. I asked my families why they chose St. Paul's for their children. And as you might guess, the details varied. The more I think about it, though, the more I see a common theme: light. When the world seems a dark place, there is no better illumination than a child's smile and the twinkle in their eyes. They bring their light to us, and we help them shine that light outward. Our days feel worthwhile. Fast forward to today. I have the duty to put that feeling into context, to explore whether our daily joys still serve the church's larger mission. Expecting inspiration, I turn to this week's lectionary. Well, you know, if you never thought God had a sense of humor, you're wrong. He has a tremendous sense of humor. And this week it showed by placing a trio of verses about vineyards and wine in front of me. Now, in some way, I'm sure that these verses speak to the Episcopal school tradition, but I had a hard time translating their lessons into my subject matter. Well, luckily, the Episcopalians are open-minded, and with Father Ray's permission, I turn to the theme for this year's Episcopal School celebration. And that theme is, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The theme derives from a core scripture, Paul's letter to the Romans at chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans is Paul's masterpiece and his clearest explanation of God's salvation for all. The heart of this masterpiece begins with our selected verse. Like so much of Paul's work, there is an immense amount of material in just one sentence. The world of the Roman Empire was indeed a dark place, and darker still for the early Christians. Here, Paul affirms that though the world be dark, Christ's light will be transforming. The fact of transformation is not unexpected. The method requires more scrutiny. Paul asks his readers to use their minds to see the world in a different way. Paul promises that this use of the mind will lead Christians to see the world God has made rather than the mess we humans have made of it. With 2,000 years of hindsight, we can say that God's logic is better than the emperor's logic. More importantly, we should take from our verse a central idea. Faith and reason are more synonyms than antonyms. From the beginning of the Christian experience, the development of the mind has been crucial to the understanding of God. The church grew not from blind faith, but because it offered the most rational explanation of how to live life. History, however, is not a straight line enterprise. By the 1400s, the Christian light had dimmed considerably. What had been Rome was now the Holy Roman Empire, but people found the apparatus of the church and state worked to keep them separate and removed from God rather than closer to him, regardless of the official sanctioning of the church. Two men, educated less than 50 years apart at the German University of Erfurt, changed all that and the world in the process. Martin Luther had the intellectual and moral courage to say that the light of Christianity shone brightest out of a personal relationship. Johannes Gutenberg and his movable printing press provided the means through which any Christian could explore God's word. The Age of Enlightenment followed, again, fueled by faith and reason. It is one thing, however, to have a manuscript available to read. Is quite another thing to be able to read it. By the 1700s, the light of God shone brighter in some corners than others. Those with a favored provenance, or at least skills, could connect. The unwashed masses, however, had neither the time nor the ability to understand King James's greatest work. In Gloucester, England, however, Robert Raikes saw how the light could spread. Raikes was a lay leader in the local church of England and the publisher of the town's largest paper. Realizing that the poor children had Sunday available, and Sunday only, Raikes and his priest decided to institute Sunday school. Sunday school was not an hour on Sunday, nor was it limited to Bible study. While the Bible lay at its heart, Sunday school was the first education for the masses. A funny thing happened in Gloucester. Crime dropped. The economy picked up. People were happier, more content. Raikes waited for 5 years before he publicized those results. Across England, and soon on our shores, the church, our church, repeated Raikes' experiment and confirmed his results. Eventually, the logic of Sunday school led to public school for all. The result was a populist fit to engineer the Industrial Revolution. As the world's economy transformed, more and more Christians could enjoy his light, figuratively and literally. Three distinct periods of darkness, the Roman oppression, the Dark Ages, and the inequality of the feudal system. In each instance, the church used faith and reason to let God's light shine. To, in Paul's words, let more of us see what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Today's world can seem just as dark a place. Division, inequality, challenges from nature, and from men intent on evil argue for us to withdraw rather than to reach out. It is heat rather than light we generate. Paul urges us not to conform to this world, but he does not mean to withdraw from it. Paul goes on to write, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." That's from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. As schools, our role in the body of Christ presents us with a golden opportunity for the transformation of young minds in diverse ways. Episcopal schools see diversity as a blessing. This is why people of other religious traditions often seek out Episcopal schools. A tenet of Episcopal schools is to become a community of wisdom that prepares students for effective and transformative lives of service in the world. Episcopal schools are called to be schools of wisdom. Schools of wisdom are about transformation. Episcopal education is about the big picture. It means overseeing the whole landscape, not only the immediate and local context. It's about inclusiveness. Episcopal schools seek to be more diverse than the communities they are set. Paul points out that we are a diverse community. As such, Episcopal schools challenge our students to think before they speak. Find ways to serve others in a world that is so obsessed with self. Dare to take time to gather and worship on a regular basis in a world that is hurried all of the time. Here at St. Paul's, we renew our minds by applying foundational principles. One, academic rigor, spiritual formation, worship, and service learning. That is St. Paul's Episcopal Day School, and it is something to be proud of and to grow. From where we are, we can build the brightest future for your children and our community. So, my answer to why is simple. The world needs us. The world needs the twinkle in those children's eyes. My children need to develop the mind to see the good, the acceptable, the perfect. And if we do that, and if we heed Paul's admonishments, the light will shine bright.